This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Just coming alive and making it happen.
Good morning.
Moving a little slower this morning.
Tell us why.
Went and saw Eric Church last night. Didn't get home to 1:30 this morning. I was with my good friend, John Flint, and he's a radio host regularly. That's his full-time job, and he was as a matter of fact, that Brendan said he put it on my Facebook page. I wouldn't want to be you tomorrow morning.
So. With the Eric Church hangover and all that.
Yes. Yeah. We had a good time. That was a good concert. That was a good concert.
It looked cool. I saw all the photos on Facebook and everything.
Yeah, so. It was good. It was good, and we were right on the floor. So I got some really good pictures of him singing, and he sang for over 2 hours. It was just him. There was no opening act or not just him. It was like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, I thought there was an opening act. That's impressive. No, 2 hours straight.
Yeah, they played for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had my dad on Father's Day to go see Travis Tritt one time, and it was just him alone with a guitar. And
he's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? I would always think, oh man, I'm so tired of artists talking in between their songs to just get to the songs and let me sing. But Travis Tritt is one interesting dude to talk about. This is why I wrote this song, and here's my personal background, you know. And it was with every song, but he is an amazing singer too, and it was an amazing concert. So, but I can't imagine how much Eric Church was too. That had to have been just one heck of an experience.
A lot of energy. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was cool.
You know what?
He's a good, great musician.
That's awesome because you don't see concerts like that anymore. Because you know, I was thinking about even like the 80s and the 90s. I mean, the one I really, really remember is when I went to see Metallica one time. Dude, they started at 8 o'clock at night. They were still playing at 12:30 at night.
That's a long time.
That's a real long time, dude,
but they kept going. I mean, they would stop in the middle of it and do, you know.
You sure they played for 4 hours?
They did. It was an awesome concert. They were the only band there.
My dad told me his first concert he ever went to was to see Survivor. They were the band that sang Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, I know who they were.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was probably born before your dad. Thank you, though.
Anyway, so he mentioned the singer messed up on one note, and this was like the second to last song in the whole set. Uh-huh. And he apologized, like, we're going to start the whole concert all over again, and I'm going to sing this whole thing again.
Did he?
Yeah, he did the whole concert all over again.
Interesting.
Yeah. Bands used to do that back in the day.
Well, and like one thing, cool thing about Eric Church is he doesn't have a set. They start with this or that, or they go to the, I mean, he just, whatever they want, you know, want to play.
That's cool, so, though. I mean, yeah, that's being an artist. Way.
It was really good. It was lots of fun. Anyway, so really, I'm not that tired. I'm surprised, but I'm sure I'm going to have to take a nap later today.
You know, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, except for I normally don't take naps, so I don't know.
I can't take naps during the day, but I really, really am envious of people that can. I'm that guy, if I don't get any sleep for whatever reason, then I have to go through the entire day being grumpy. So I wish I could take naps.
There you go. There you go. Well, we'll see. We'll see where we end up later today. Anyway, we do appreciate you joining us this morning. We are talking about diagnosing vehicles and why it's important to have a quality diagnosis done, et cetera. We're going to talk all about that. But we're here to talk about anything automotive related that you'd like to talk about. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. We're not going to talk concerts all morning because that's not what we do. Just some cool stuff. You know, the one thing I am going to add about that is everybody's getting out and about, you know, now. So, and I think concerts have changed a little bit where like that, the artists are by themselves. They don't have an opening act or whatever. So things are just a little different than they used to be, but pretty cool. So anyway, it's some good stuff. I also want to throw out, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We're getting ready to roll into that tomorrow. So, I hope everybody's getting ready to take their mom out for a nice brunch or something. You know, do a little teetotaling. Anyway, are you taking your mom out for brunch, Brendan?
Take her out teetotaling.
Sort of. It's lunch, but it's at 11. So it's not brunch. It is lunch. I'm taking her to the Brigantine. So should be fun. Yeah.
Why is it not brunch? 11 o'clock is when brunch is.
No, 10:30 is brunch.
You have a time on it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know,
well, I go have brunch all the time, like at Cheesecake Factory every Sunday. I go usually go, I don't know if it's called brunch, but at 11, I'm still getting an omelet.
You know what I'm doing? Okay. You know what I do? I eat.
Yeah, wait, don't ask Kevin. It doesn't matter. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. Anyway, we're here to talk to you about anything automotive related, not brunch. 1-888-344-1170. I didn't realize that you had to actually be there by 10:30 to make it brunch. That...
No, I view it that way. I'll look up to see what geez, most people
for the love.
Say. I know.
Brendan has these strict ideas about things that he...
That's why I said I just eat. When I'm hungry, I eat. I don't exactly. I don't classify it.
Exactly. All right, so we're talking about... there's a world of difference between a free estimate for known repairs. So folks often, you know, when discussing things, ask about, you know, estimates. Do you do free estimates? A free estimate is like if you call me and you say to me, I need to put front brake pads on my car. How much will it cost? Well, then that's easy enough. If you tell me the type of car you have, the VIN and all that stuff, I can look it up and look up the parts and I can tell you what it'll cost to put front brakes on it if that's what you want, right? The only problem with that is... when it comes to other things such as drivability concerns, check engine light issues, things like that, cars don't diagnose themselves. And there is a misconception out there that I've talked about before, and that is that like you just plug in and it tells you what's wrong with the car, right? Does it do that? No, it does not.
I don't
do
even
that,
have
obviously.
The answer.
No, it doesn't do that. So what does it do? It gives you codes for different things. Now, here's the thing. Those are systems that are having a problem. And from that, you actually have to know how to go through and diagnose and test all the items in that system to determine what in that system is causing that code to set. So, which can be numerous things. My favorite one is a car that gets a lean condition and it comes in with all new oxygen sensors on it. So you just dumped $1,000 on air ratio sensors and everything and put it in the car because it had a lean condition, because they all actually come up as O2 or air fuel ratio sensor codes. But that's only because those sensors are picking up a problem, right?
Yeah, it's not reading what it should be in a perimeter.
And it's not reading that because there's a problem elsewhere upstream from that that's caused it to read incorrectly.
Yes.
So, but then they put all these in and it doesn't fix the problem. You spend a bunch of money. So that is one of my best examples of why a qualified diagnosis by a qualified technician in a quality facility will be the best money you spend on any single repair, no matter what.
Yes.
Having a car diagnosed properly by somebody that's qualified to do so will save you so much money in the long run. And if you don't think about this a lot, all I can tell you about this is we see a lot of cars that have been attempted to be fixed by throwing parts at them. There's no question about it. So depending on what it is, a noise, a drivability, a check engine light, you know, and how many modules are on most cars now?
Say 50.
Or more
if
sometimes.
If you want me to guess.
Yeah, I'm just, well, it's random. It depends on what mike, model, year, yeah. You know, everything.
Because even the windows have a module now.
They do. That's what I'm saying. They're all subjective, and they can all set different codes, items like that for different things. But when a code sets for something, it's because it's picked up a fault, especially for a check engine light, as far as that goes. There are two trip codes and one trip codes. Two trip codes are codes that have to pick up the problem twice. So such as, let's say, like a lean condition. The first time it picks it up, it sets what's called a pending, in other words. So it sets a code, but it doesn't turn on the check engine light, right?
Yes.
So within it, and if it picks the same problem up again within a certain cycle, then it will turn the check engine light on as two trip code. So, other things are one-trip codes, like gross misfires. They'll turn check engine light on right away.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, if it's going to damage the cat, yes, and it's putting that much fuel down
it
there.
Actually, it'll make the check engine light flash, right?
It'll, because that's like a dead fault. So it's like cutting the wire and it's not receiving anything back to the PCM. So it'll automatically set the code then.
Yeah, it sets the code. There are several specific items that will set one, what they're called, one trip codes. So, and the reason for that is because they're damaging to the vehicle, and the car should not continue to drive that way. So as far as that, you can damage other things on it. So that's why they have that system set up that way. And then there's codes for all kinds of other things, like especially German cars tend to like to set a lot of codes for like the left rear window motor glitched when it went up one time or stuff like that. Those won't turn on a check engine light because they're not related to that system, right?
Right.
The engine control management, fuel management system is all check engine light. Drivability. So transmission is also hooked to your check engine light. Why? When you say, is that fuel management? Well, it is, because the transmission has to operate right properly to make the car emissions friendly and stay doing what it's supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
If it doesn't shift out of first gear and you're going 90 mile an hour and on the freeway, it's not in an emissions friendly zone, is it?
No.
Not at all. So...
Well, even the tranny's got to work right because some codes, the car's got to be doing 30 mile an hour. It's got to be in a certain gear because they write the perimeters in there when they ride them.
That's right.
And if it can't go through those, there could be something wrong with the engine and it won't even set that code because it's having problems over here because it can't even run this
monitor.
It
thinks there's something wrong with the transmission then or something else. Correct. So it does that all the time.
So you fix that problem, then you have another problem.
sometimes. Or you have to be good at diagnosing and knowing that the reason this set is related to that problem over there,
yes,
you know, which is what we go through. And that's once again why the best money ever spent on any repair is having a vehicle diagnosed properly without question. So that is definitely the way to go. And that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. But we're here to talk about anything automotive related you'd like to talk about. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We will discuss anything you want automotive wise. Yeah.
I was going to give an example. You know what? Like on the, I want to say like the, say 2000 era Toyota. I remember when they had a problem with their knock sensors, it could actually make the transmission not shift. And it may not even set a code for the knock sensors yet because it couldn't get into the perimeters that it needed to be to run the cycle on them. So
very
engine
true.
Things can cause problems to the transmission. That's why a lot of companies used to make power control modules. They'd hook the transmission and the engine in the same module.
That is very true. Went and sat on a board Wednesday for the Tool Institute guys that do tool and tech and create a lot of the software and tools and everything else that we use in the automotive field, right?
Right.
Because they just wanted to talk to, and it was me and three other shop owners, and they want to talk to quality shops that actually use their stuff is what they want. So that all these guys design, they're engineers and all that. And I got in a, we were talking about autonomous vehicles and ADOS and that once on the side after we were done, I was talking to an engineer guy and he made there's no true autonomous vehicles yet. I mean, I do know that like Tesla will drive yourself, but you're supposed to pay attention to what's going on. So like there was a gentleman up in here in California, I forget his last name, but he actually worked for a tech company. I don't know if he worked for Google or who he worked for. But anyway, he was on his way to work every day, and he got so used to the car just did its thing that he was actually playing a video game or something like that. He was doing something, and the car went to enter the freeway where it does, and somebody had previously hit where the, you know, on the freeway entrance thing, and they put those water barrel things.
Yeah, yeah.
They were gone. They weren't there anymore because there had been an accident there previously, and they were damaged. So Caltrans hadn't replaced them yet. They just put a thing. When the car turned, it instead of picking up the lane markers on just that side, it picked up the far left and the far right, and it accelerated him right into the concrete embutment that split the center of it, and actually he ended up passing away at the hospital.
Right.
That's how fast cars. So it's important to pay attention. But where I was going to get with this is something that's really important is we were discussing, you know, EV vehicles, which has been a big topic with us the past few weeks. We've been talking about it on and off, but EV vehicles and the fire danger of them. Because he said not only was it the fire department was on the phone with Tesla because they weren't – this car was on – they got it put out. When they took it to the storage lot or the body shop lot or wherever they took it to afterwards, the car caught on fire two more times just sitting there. Why? Because of the battery issues that they have with these EVs, which is something that you need to think about. And got me thinking. So, but the point to this, he was telling me, is like, if you guys ever have one of those cars towed in that's damaged, don't park it in the shop.
No.
Don't park it near another car. Put it out in the back lot where it's got plenty of space around it, because it's highly likely it'll catch on fire again. Because
everything's disconnected. And if a car's wrecked, you may not be able to disconnect everything because the compartment doors might be...
Well, think
where
about
you get
it.
In there,
you don't know where this thing correctly is shorted or et cetera from the damage it's had. So it's a very interesting thing for sure. So, just something I wanted to bring up before I forgot about it, because just a different avenue we're going to have to deal with as we get into a lot of these EV vehicles.
And you know what? You remember back in the early 90s when like we'd be going down the 15, like the express lanes, SDSU, when you're talking about anonymous cars, SDSU was using them Crown Vicks. And they were using sensors and magnets in the ground to try to drive. I wonder if they ever used that technology.
Well, there's all kinds of technology. Now they don't, I don't think.
Well, I'm sure, but you know, especially when they build a Tesla and have its own sensors on it, I would think that when we go to some kind of...
All those cars do now, but it's all radar is what's used on most of them.
I know, but what I was bringing up is they actually had the sensors in the ground that the car followed.
Correct.
Which... would be a much better, you know, a system I would think to use rather than let the car.
That involves redoing all the roadways.
Well, that's what they were trying to do back then. I was just saying.
That's a lot of money. We can't even get a bridge fixed, man, well, and you want to redo all the roads. No,
you know what? It's not about, honestly, it's not about somebody playing video games on the way to work with having these systems. It's about the accidents we wouldn't cause. If somebody.
I understand, but the problem with you get so comfortable with the car is what I was saying.
I know.
That you think it's going to, and you don't pay attention. We don't have any fully autonomous vehicles. You're not supposed to be doing that. Tesla says, pay attention while you're driving this car. Just because you can take your hands off the steering wheel doesn't mean you shouldn't be paying attention, because if the car decides to do something else, if he was paying attention, he probably could have steered around hitting that. You know what I'm saying? So it is
I totally understand. I just, yeah.
All right, folks. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 AM and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio as we're discussing. Where's all our callers this morning? Brandon, did you scare everybody off again?
I hope not. They were all calling in at the very beginning of Garden Talk, and then it slowed down at the end of the show. So
everybody was taking a garden nap.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they're doing. Yeah.
You know, it was pretty light out this morning. There was a lot of traffic on the road. People were out moving this morning, I think. I mean, I don't blame them. So they're listening to us, and thankfully they're not calling them while they're moving in their car, because we'd have that issue with the... with the Tesla thing again.
No, my car has hands free in it.
I have a question for you. Has anybody ever called during your time of the show, even at the other station, where they said, hey, I'm broken down at the side of the road and I heard this clunking noise and stuff like that? Have they ever done that?
No? Not that I can think of.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Okay, wait a minute. That's not a good time to diagnose your car when you're stuck on the side of the freeway either, okay?
No. We should be doing it long before that, for sure. All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I appreciate you joining us this morning. I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified. Take care of folks up there in North County for coming up on 30 years. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844th North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved. Taking care of folks out there in East County for 9 years. and West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right there in central San Diego. AAA approved and smog certified, taking care of folks there for 5 years. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road and East Gate Mall, AAA approved and star certified, taking care of folks over there in the Golden Triangle, as we call it, right across from where we're at now, for 3 years. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced, repaired, and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs also. Get a West Automotive Group card. You can use it anytime. Saves you the trouble and gives you 6 months to pay for any service or repairs needed. You can also take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis and proper vehicle diagnosis. If you think you're having a problem with your car, get in and let my expert technicians diagnose it properly. That's what our show's about today and what we're talking about, saving you money, because the best money ever spent is on a diagnosis by a qualified technician at a quality facility. Save you a lot of money in the long run. We also offer free shutterized tour from work or home and low-cost rental vehicles from all four locations. Go to westautomotivegroup.com, and you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. That's westautomotivegroup.com. You can also make appointments from there, see what we're all about, etc. Once again, westautomotivegroup.com. You can also click on the Automan segments, where I'm the Automan on the CW on Friday mornings and Friday evening news, and Fox mid-morning Wednesday news, Fox 5 news mid-morning news. Where I'm the Auto Man for both those channels, or you can click on Auto Talk Radio, where we put all our podcasts from when the shows are done if you missed one. You can also pick up our podcasts are available at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn, all out there for you. But this morning, give us a call here at 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're here to talk to you about anything automotive related for sure. Let's see what Bodie's up to. What's up, Bodie?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
No car jokes today. but I do got a crazy food joke that's clean.
Uh-oh. Go for it.
So you know Kraft Foods?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a multinational like Nestle's, you know, Facebook all over the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they opened up a dairy division in Israel. Yeah, they called it Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, geez. That was good. I like that.
There you go.
That's enough for today. Otherwise, you have all the crackpots calling. So, my mother used to say, you got to laugh.
Yes.
You got to laugh. That's right.
So I'm having a cocktail with a buddy of mine last night. We're talking about different services and stuff. And so his claim is that if you look in the throttle body, you can tell whether or not you need your valves cleaned. You know, what do they call it? The fuel induction service?
Yes, correct.
Can you tell by looking in the throttle body?
Well, that's one indication, because the throttle body carbons up just like everything else. So as far as that goes, that is definitely a start to an indication. But you should really do those services by time and mileage, because if you do, then you would keep the carbon to a minimum throughout the system on the valves, the intake runners, and all that stuff, and save yourself the hassle.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, as always.
No problem. That was an easy one. Throw me a harder one next time, Bodie.
Well, we're not playing hardball.
No, not today. We're not. You got it, my friend. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks for being there. Bye.
You got it. Have a good weekend. Take care. Bye. So, good question. Induction service.
It was
important.
It was a good
yearly,
question.
Yearly. Do it yearly.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you now, all you folks that have direct injected vehicles out there, don't do an induction service about 90,000 miles. You're going to get a surprise.
Well, the thing is, it's just like cleaning the throttle body, because I have a 97 Saturn, mm-hmm. and you know what? It was idling funny, so we'll clean the throttle body, and it runs, now it idles fine.
Well, the air bypass passages and the IAC, the idle air control motor and all that, get carboned up, and they have trouble working properly.
Or the throttle plate has enough gum in it that it doesn't get air around the throttle plate.
That too. It sticks it, so... those things prevent it from working properly,
yes.
Correct?
And I, you know what? If you see that, then you know that there's stuff on the valves like that too. So
that's correct. There's no question about it. So a great service to do yearly. Well, let's see here. Where are we at?
And you can't always tell by looking in the throttle body. Just I'm going to say that just because if somebody cleaned the throttle body and they actually didn't do the rest of the service, then you wouldn't know, right?
That is true. That is true. So there is a world of difference between a free estimate for known repairs and diagnosis procedure for difficult, intermittent, or technical problems. Accurate diagnosis of your vehicle's troubles is imperative for precise estimates and to be able to provide economical, accurate, and lasting repairs. But it can frequently take a lot of time and resources to get there. That's my point that I was making with the best money ever spent of any repair is by a qualified technician at a quality facility to diagnose your vehicle properly. And these resources, you may need to invest some time, et cetera. In some cases, the diagnosis of a problem can be straightforward. There may be only minimal expense arriving at an answer. Other times, problems are complex, especially with today's cars. And we're seeing a lot of things. Prime example of we had a vehicle in that the remotes were all dead. The batteries in them, they wouldn't work. So we fixed the remotes, but it still wouldn't activate. And by the time going through and testing everything, the antenna for the remotes had failed, right? Okay. Which was in the headliner of the car. Got to take a windshield out and all that fun stuff to get to it. While talking to the client about it, the client says, well, that makes sense because about a year ago, a tree fell on the car. This is seriously what happened.
I know. Tree,
that makes sense. But well, why would you? You know,
that's
but
what then I'm again, he,
but the body shop fixed and all that, but he said it never worked right since then. Well, you think you would have put two and two together, but I mean, sometimes you don't. So it's always fun when you spend a bunch of time diagnosing something, then somebody says to you, by the way, that makes sense because a tree fell on my car. Well, I would have liked to know a tree fell on your car previously. But,
well, yeah.
But that the customer doesn't know that the antenna's in the roof of the
car.
And
I get that. But that's why sometimes I'm on our service riders about when the customer comes in, we need to try to drag these out of them because I understand the customer doesn't know. It's not their job to know. It's our job to try to drag as much information out of them as we can. So that we can make better diagnoses because the faster we diagnose.
This is not something you would have ever thought to ask somebody about.
No,
though.
No, no,
has
no.
A tree fallen on your car recently?
No.
I'm going to have to add that to the list.
The part
list
I
of
go
things.
Back to is the guy said it has never acted right since then.
Uh-huh.
So in conversation, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just saying this is one of those things when you try to get as much information as possible.
Correct.
And doing that, sometimes you got to pull the, hey, it hasn't acted right in a year out of them. That would have helped a lot. You know what I mean? Because then it could have kind of, right here.
Well, in the order, it said they'd been doing this for a long period of time. But there's no way of knowing that a tree fell on a car. And that would not be a question. Like, as writing customers up and take, I've never said, so has a tree fallen on your car recently? So, you know, you always ask things like when did this start? Like you said, well, in there it said this had been going on for a period of time, but the customer never related it to the fact that this started when a tree fell on until after it was already diagnosed. And he's like, oh, well, that makes sense because a tree fell on my car like a year ago and the body shop fixed it all. And if it's in the roof, it fell on the roof. Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, you know. Some of that stuff can be helpful. Sometimes people volunteer don't. The customer didn't do it intentionally. He just didn't. He probably didn't even know that the antenna for the remote system is in the headliner of the car on the roof. I mean, why would he? Why would you know that about your car? Unless you're a technician, you're not going to know where these items are in the car. So, but that's how you run across these things that often can turn into a little bit of a difficult process and diagnosis when those are what we call outside causes of failures, right? It's not just like a sensor failing or something like that, which are way easier things to diagnose on a vehicle when there's a component failure versus an outside force failure, which is a tree falling on a car. So damages wiring. So accidents can be a big cause is where I was going with this. of extended issues of trying to diagnose it, because a wire gets severed in a harness or pinched, a ground gets broken off, or the body shop fixes it, doesn't put a ground back, and I'm not trying to throw a body shop under, but things happen. They really take these cars apart when they have to fix them a lot.
No, but most body shops don't have technicians there. They're body technicians. They're not so much wiring technicians. I mean, that's not their job. I mean, their job is to make the car look good. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, most of the time they work closely with, now, the quality body shops do, because you have to. There's too much electronics on the car. And a matter of fact, even now, when a car comes in, their standard procedures, they scan the car, every single module and document before the work started on it, all codes that are present, and then they have to scan it when they're done and document if there's anything. So that way they know, you know, where and how and what was up with the car, and they have documentation on it, which is a great idea.
Most body shops will send it to a technicians to have them do the wiring repair.
Oh, yeah, correct. If there's damage like this, correct. So we do that for a couple body shops here and there. So anyway, but the important part to this, or if they're big enough, then they employ one master technician that deals with all those kind of issues.
Right.
You know, and he just floats around and does it. So one way or another.
That's possible they're starting to do stuff like that, because cars aren't the same animal anymore.
Nope, that's true. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're here to talk to you about. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. Be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock. What are you doing over there?
Drinking water.
That's a good thing. You got to hydrate, especially after a concert night. Oh, you didn't go?
No, I didn't. No, I was at home. Thank God.
Brendan would have liked to have been there, huh, Brendan?
Yeah, I love Eric Church, but I also have to cheer on my Padres at the same time, so that's where I was last night, too. So,
and because of you, they won.
I hope you so, yeah. I don't have a good track record with the Padres when I go to their games, to be honest.
Well, luckily, there's a new streak, because you were there and they won, so you're on it. You got it going, man, so for sure. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170, anything automotive-related, we're happy to talk to you about here. So today we are discussing, diagnosis and proper diagnosis, et cetera, some great stuff. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries of San Diego. Interstate Batteries, battery for every need. The Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there when it comes to automotive use, for sure, and everything else. But we do not stock nor sell any other battery in the West Automotive Group for a single reason, because they are the number one technician recommended battery worldwide. If you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com, get an appointment, get in, and we'll put an Interstate in for you. Trust me, because they are what we all run in our vehicles. They are the highest quality batteries out there. If you need a battery for any other need, you can check them out at their storefronts, because they have a battery for everything. Like I said, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Batteries, battery for every need. The highest quality out there. Go get one.
Batteries for like the Priuses and stuff now too, right?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure if they remanufactured those or...
It brings up a big point, something I ran across this week, actually. So in Miramar, I had to help out Kristen. I was down there, and Troy came in, our lead tech there, and he says we're putting a Toyota hybrid battery in a Prius there, right?
Okay.
And we tend to use OEM batteries for the hybrids. Too many the aftermarket batteries have a lot of problems. Now, that might change someday, and the quality may, but Dorman made these batteries, and then they stopped making them, from what I understand. I don't even know if they, you can't find them anymore, so I think they stopped because they had too many problems with them. But he went to, he pulled, you can't see the battery when you're testing it all, right? The thing's buried in a Prius, right? So you take the seat out, and he got, and when he got to it, he's like, oh, it's a Dorman battery that somebody had replaced previously. So he came in, he's like, Dorman battery. I'm like, hold tight. So it's quite expensive for the core on that battery because Toyota won't take a Dorman battery back as a core.
It's already been remanufactured by somebody else.
No, Dorman makes their own. It's not even OEM battery.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
So Dorman was making their own battery, replacement batteries for those. So they're not remanufactured. Toyota only wants factory ones back, and they remanufacture them themselves at the factory, right?
Okay.
So $1,500.
For a core?
$1,500.
For
and,
core, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They won't, because it, and you, so I was like, stop. Got to call a customer. Stop. And there's really no answer to this because somebody put a door, this kid that owns the car, he didn't even put this battery in it, but somebody did. It's, so this is a 2010. So years, a few years ago, somebody put this battery in and shouldn't have.
Right.
That's what happened. So, but who would have known at that time, right? No. But here you are, and this is the problems you run up against. So we, the kid authorized, the gentleman authorized to the core, obviously, and we proceeded forward. So all taken care of. But then I was, but then Toyota doesn't even want that battery back. So I'm like, well, what are we supposed to do with the with this big hybrid battery? So one great thing about Interstate is they're partners with us. I called them. They're like, oh, no charge. We'll pick it up and we'll recycle it for you. So that's how we can get rid of that thing, luckily. So otherwise, what are you going to have? A bunch of hybrid batteries stacked up in the corner that nobody wants back? That'd be a terrible thing. So,
well, I'm sure there's a lot of valuable parts in it, but you got to find that person that wants them.
Yeah, I'm sure they have somebody to send it to, but they deal in batteries, so that's what they're doing. Yeah, they're very helpful. But like, yeah, just Brian, let me know when you have it ready and out, and we'll come grab it. Okay, cool. Thank you. That way we don't have to keep it, and it gets recycled properly. Very important. All right, let's grab Bob in San Diego. What's going on, Bob?
I had a question about your fuel injection service.
Yes, sir.
Induction. What do you actually do? Is that just a fuel additive you put in with the fuel and run it through, or do you actually go in the engine and do something with it, or clean things?
Yeah, there's actually a nozzle that goes in. Well, there's all kinds of fuel induction chemicals and services out there. We only use the one by BG, and you can't buy it in an auto parts store. You actually have to have the tools to apply it. So the same thing, and it's done in different ways depending on, you know, is it a direct injected vehicle or is it just like a port injected or throttle body injected. But yeah, there's several steps involved in that, and an atomizer and all that to clean the carbon off the valves. So it's not just dumping something into the fuel tank, and the valve body throttle body gets cleaned also. So there's about three-step process in that.
Injectors get cleaned too, or?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's stuff that goes through the injectors also.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. If we can help you out, let us know, and we appreciate you listening. Have a safe, wonderful weekend.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And one thing I will say about the induction service that's amazing is that is one service. If you do it once a year, you can actually tell the service has been done because the vehicle runs better. You know what I'm saying? It idles better. It's one of those services people are like, whoa, this is way better. So it does work out quite well. It's quite the thing, so for sure.
Well, you notice because you don't have to have your foot in the throttle so much, like on light throttle stuff. I mean, you may not notice.
Well, and even idling stuff, the car's just smoother.
Yeah, I was going to say I did it at your facility, and instead of having to refill my car every 8 hours, it's now gone up to 12 hours of driving in total.
Really?
Yeah. Now, in terms of mileage, it's about the same, but I'm telling you, it idles fantastically, and honestly, there's no complaints about
it. It does save fuel because it actually, carbon robs the vehicle of fuel mileage. So,
okay, gotcha. Yeah, it does. Yeah. So I never noticed it personally on the electronic dashboard. It'll say the same mileage, but in terms of driving the amount of time, it's extended by like 4 hours.
So wow.
Yeah, that's for me personally. I don't know about other cars out there, but that's just for me. Just
nice.
Letting you know.
Yeah. Nice. So good stuff. All right, let's grab Gary real quick. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Yes, I had I've got an older Ford F-150, and it quit on me. But in the past, I've had a problem where I've been able to replace the ignition control module, and it works fine.
What year F-150 is it?
Oh, it's a 93.
Okay. Yeah, it uses the TFI module. Is the module on that one bolted right to the distributor?
You know, I haven't got that far yet, but I was just thinking back in the past where a car has quit on me, and I've been able to replace that. And my question was, is there any indication of when that thing fails? You know, I've never seen the check engine light come on.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's kind of a probably a precursor of the check engine light information. So I really don't even know if there's any codes associated with it. But I was just wondering if you've seen in the past when an engine control module. It's got an engine control module, and it's also got an ignition control module.
Correct.
And I didn't know if there's any indication of when that thing fails.
So those TFI modules didn't give any indication when they'd fail. That was a design that Ford had that a lot of them failed. And initially, it's mounted on the distributor. Then they moved it over to the fender well on later models when they were still using it because it kept it cooler and they seemed to not fail as much. But it was called thick film integrated module. And it was usually we would replace those and the pickups in the distributor because they both fail. But what you really need to do is test the system, find out. But the best way to head down that direction is figure out, do you have any spark? If you don't have any spark, then it's highly likely you're talking about a TFI module on that vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, I hardly ever drive the thing anymore. So I try to drive it every week, but sometimes it'll sit there for a couple weeks. And so I started it up, and I was going down the hill, and the thing quit on me. And
gotcha.
First, the check engine light popped on, and then it quit, and I was able to coast over, and I wasn't able to tow it or anything, so it sat there for a couple of days, and then it started. But then, when I put it into drive, the engine was really surging and like a loping, and then it quit, and it wouldn't start again. So. So I was just thinking if where I've had a problem in the past where the ignition control module failed, it wouldn't start at all. But this
correct.
This time it started, and then I started thinking, well, maybe it's not that.
It could be something else for sure. I mean, could be fuel related or et cetera. It's one of those things. You're a prime example why good diagnosis saves you a lot of money right there, because if we start just throwing parts at that vehicle, could get quite expensive. Might be replacing things that aren't bad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was initially thinking, it's the fuel pump went out, but then it started, and so then I knew.
Well fuel pumps can do that too. So, sometimes we get cars that don't like to start when they're hot. The fuel pump causes issues. You let them sit for a little bit, and then they'll start up and run again. So.
Or they've, I guess the motor's hits on a dead spot or something.
Yep. Well, they're electric pumps, so they do wear out after a period of time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to get it towed into your Miramar shop there have them diagnose it.
We'll get her checked out for you, Gary. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Thank you. And have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is a good question. Great question. But ignition, fuel won't.
Yeah. Well, that's when he says it and just quit. So it's hard to tell because is there fuel? Is there until you actually put your hands on it at that point, you won't know. Because it may not even be that. I mean, he could have had a fuel pump fail on it
could
too.
Have. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, so.
And don't always believe the gauges on your dash, because my buddy's girlfriend, she called and said, hey, I was on the way over and to his house and my car quit. And I think the alternator went bad. I stopped by there and I was like, car cranks over like it's on fire. And I said, no, the alternator's not. What about the battery? No, the battery, it won't, that doesn't work. The battery.
It wouldn't be cranking over this
fast. I was like, how much fuel's in this thing? And she's like, oh, it said I had 22 miles to go till empty. And it's on a hill like this. I said, we should put some gas in this thing. Put some gas in. Boom, start right up and drove away. I was like, quick fix.
Yeah, they don't like to sit on it, especially when they're low on gas. And no. You know, and people, and right now, I can almost guarantee that most people are running their tanks lower than they normally do because gas is really pricey right now. And I get why they're doing it, but
don't do it. It's bad for the fuel pump.
Yes.
So and a couple things when you're dealing with fuel pumps and low fuel. Fuel is what actually cools the fuel pumps on most vehicles these days. So it's very, very important, very important. All right, let's grab Jim in Spring Valley. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. You're part of my morning routine on Saturdays, the garden guys, the auto guys, and the health guys.
Hey, we appreciate you joining us. What you got going on?
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I have a 95 Chevy S10 pickup, and it's air-conditioned related. Mm-hmm. It was given to me from my dad when he passed. I got his work truck, and it used to be a sheriff's vehicle because on the front doors there's emblems where they painted over like sheriffs.
Oh, wow.
When I step on, are they pretty well maintained, you know, with being with the sheriff's department?
Yeah, yeah, they have their own service facility. They stick to a maintenance routine on all their vehicles.
Yeah, it's just they get used a lot, you know, a lot of miles. But anyway, with the air conditioning, guys, is I step on the gas and it's on, and it works like a champ. Come up to a light and it's idling and there's no cold air. So I'm like, So I get on the freeway and all the way from here to La Jolla, it works like a champ. Get off the freeway, first light, you know, stops pumping air. So what could it be?
So there's no airflow?
No, it no longer cool.
Okay, so it's no longer cool. So you get the same amount of airflow. I'm just trying to decipher, are we having an issue where they are? So you get the same amount of airflow. It just goes from cold to warm.
Right, yeah. Right. I took it to this.
Go ahead.
Vietnamese guy, and he checked it out, and he goes, well, there's the outer, and then there's the inner. He goes, all the outer, the fuses, the wires, the hoses, the belt, all check out good, but it's just, well, yeah, I guess he didn't get into the pump or the compressor or the fluid, but.
Well, yeah, see, so that could be something as simple as it's slightly low on Freon.
It could be, but yeah. Normally when I see a problem like that, it's either condenser or evaporator. We
could
don't have
be
the right,
freezing up.
Well, yeah. It could have dirt in it. I've seen even the evaporators inside where because they don't.
Well, yeah. So the core on the outside, like Kevin's saying, if it's full with a bunch of dirt, then there you need a lot of airflow to do the heat exchange to make the system work properly to keep air cold, which
right,
would say why flying down the road. Exactly. Same thing with low on Freon. You get a higher RPMs on the compressor, and you're going through it. So now it works more. So really what it needs to be is checked properly, and you really need to put a set of gauges on a vehicle like that and verify what's going on. Things like an orifice tube that's got some stuff plugged in it or something like that can also cause issues. So in pressures will show what's going on and what those problems are.
I like that you said it could be something simple, and could leaves do that? Like if
it
under
could,
a tree and the
it
know,
could if
leaves?
They're all stuck in the condenser. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's it, guys. And one quick question about locking gas caps.
Uh huh.
What do you think? Are they a deterrent? Are they quality or what? Because I went to auto parts and I said I'm looking, you know, to protect, you know, my $300 worth of gas in my tank. Going way up, and they said, well, we got one here, it's $16.50, and she goes, but we don't have it, it's out of stock, let me check the other store, and they had it, you know, across town, and she goes, yeah, you want me to, you know, help hold it for you, or, oh, we got one here, two in a box for $12, I go, that's a no-brainer.
Well, the thing about that is, they are a deterrent, but what people are doing now is cutting fuel hoses and drilling holes in tanks, believe it or not. So, I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, that goes along with the catalyst stealing these days. People are stealing all kinds of things. So,
they're doing a drill and they're draining into a pan and pouring into a jerry can. What happened?
Exactly.
Jerry can and a hose and siphon, you know?
Exactly. Well, newer cars, you can't siphon. There's anti-siphoning valves in the filler necks. So these guys
would. Okay, right. The the pump nozzle has to compress it.
Correct. Correct.
Down in the neck. Oh, okay.
So it, anyway, it. But they what they do is cut the rubber hose that goes into the tank, and if they can't get to that, then they drill a hole in the tank. So they're doing all kinds of things. We've had quite a few commercial vehicles come in that needed new fuel tanks. That's an expensive endeavor for sure. So, but I mean, a locking gas cap is a deterrent. So it's just what you know.
I feel a little safer with that, you know, because I don't have the inside release. You know, it's just
correct.
Go up to the pump and you just open the side hatch and then you know take off the cap. So now I have a locking cap and. It seems like it would slow them down, you know, or maybe they would just say, let's go somewhere else. It's a little...
They might decide it's too much trouble and go someplace else. I agree with you 100% on that. So.
And we do have those motion detector lights. So, you know, the light comes on, you know, it gets bright, and then they go, oh, time to go.
There you go.
I sure hope so, you know.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. We're going to have to run here. He's telling me I got a minute left. So, but do appreciate you listening to us. Thank you so much. Have a safe, wonderful weekend.
Yeah, and happy Mother's Day to all those fine women out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You take care now. So, great things. Hey, guys, we really appreciate you joining us. We love doing this every Saturday morning. And because you guys listen, they allow us to continue on with this. We appreciate all your calls and your contributions to the show, etc. I want everybody to keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up for sure. As we will be back next week for Auto Talk Radio, as always. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 AM at 96.1 FM. Till next week, be safe and enjoy Mother's Day.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.